Good morning, Revolution. Thank you all so much for worshiping with us this morning, for tuning in wherever you are. This is the usual time where we would release our kids for Revolution Kids. And so I just want to alert you to the resources and videos, if you haven't seen them already, that Amy has posted on our website for our little peeps, for our Revolution Kids, and also for our Student Impact Ministries. She's got lots of resources and activities for us to stay connected and learning during this time, so make sure and check those out. Well, as you guys know, it is Palm Sunday. So thank you to all of our kids and our families who participated in a unique and creative way this year to make sure we were still able to celebrate Palm Sunday. This is a Sunday of celebration and wonder in which we remember and mark the day that Jesus entered Jerusalem triumphantly. And the crowds gathered. They'd heard about this Jesus, and they gathered to marvel and to see this miracle worker, not because they knew who he was, but because they'd heard of the things that he had done. And so they laid down their robes in honor. They waved palm branches as a sign of goodness and of victory. And they cried out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Now, these words were probably an adaptation of a prayer from Psalm 118 that says this: "Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord." Hosanna does mean to save. And so they cried out to Jesus for a victory. Save us. Or as many scholars note at this, they cried out to Christ to make him their king. And we've seen the crowds do this before. If you remember, right after he blessed the loaves and fishes and fed the 5,000, the crowds overwhelmed Jesus. And they tried to overpower him and make them their king, make him their king. Not because they knew who he was, again, but because they saw his power. They saw what he could do. They were amazed by his signs, and they wanted that power. They wanted protection and justice. Remember, the Jews were longing for that new earthly king who would rule politically and finally restore the people of Israel. They probably expected a triumphant military victory. But as we know, that is not the king that Jesus came to be. Yes, Jesus, the king of the Jews, but one who will be crucified and buried in just a few short days from this entrance into Jerusalem. Yes, he had a victory, but this victory looked like suffering and death first. So these crowds yelled, "Hosanna, Hosanna, save us," but they did not yet understand just how Jesus would save them. So you know that during this Lenten season, we have been studying the I Am statements of Jesus in the Gospel of John, following these signs and wonders, and believing that each statement can draw us deeper into the nature and goodness of God. Because Jesus, the Son, the Christ, reveals to us the Father. And through believing these truths about Jesus, we can come to have life and have life abundant. Seeking and thirsting even now for that life, especially during this Lenten season, searching and longing for that true life that Jesus Christ comes to offer. So we're going to turn to our next statement this morning in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 11. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So I'm going to invite you now to read this passage of scripture with me wherever you are, from John chapter 14. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do not know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves." This is the word of God for us here this morning, the people of God. There are two ways that we most commonly hear about this passage, or two verses that are especially familiar to us. The first is in the context of a funeral where we read, "In my Father's house there are many rooms." Sometimes you might hear, "In my Father's mansion," or "There are many dwelling places." And the idea is that Jesus has gone ahead of us to return to the Father to prepare an actual place for us in heaven. And we find comfort in these words, especially at the time of death, as we anticipate this future reality and believe that Christ will come again to take us to be with God forever in eternity. The second way that we are familiar with this passage is the context of other religions or belief systems. We know those words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And we hear this as an exclusionary statement against all other schools of thought, that the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. But if we take these two verses at this surface level understanding only, we will miss much of the rich depth and understanding of what Christ is offering here in relationship with him to the people that he is speaking to. Because the truth is, he's not speaking to a huge, large, gathered crowd right now. He's not talking to a gathering of all the world religious leaders of the day of proper religious thought. He's talking to his disciples. He's speaking to his 12 closest friends. And this passage falls within what is known as the farewell discourse. It comprises John chapter 13 through 17, the longest continuous discourse of Jesus, where the disciples have gathered for that final meal at Passover. And Jesus is preparing them for what is about to happen next. In this time, he has washed the disciples' feet. He has given them a new commandment to love one another as he has loved them. He has foretold of Judas's betrayal and Peter's denial, and he has promised that the Holy Spirit will be with them. He's preparing the disciples for what's about to happen next and for how they must continue his ministry, even in his physical absence. The disciples are, of course, afraid. They are filled with fear and don't understand how Jesus will depart from them. In fact, they want to go with him. Just before this, Peter asks, "May I come with you?" And yet Jesus encourages them in this moment of fear, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." You know, you've got to love Thomas's question at this moment. So often Thomas is slighted as the doubting one, but maybe he is the one brave enough to ask questions, the one brave enough to seek to understand, the one honest enough to just say plainly, "Look, Jesus, we do not know what you're talking about. We do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Thomas was asking for a roadmap here. He was thinking of a place in terms of physical geography and asking how he could get there, how he could get to this place that Jesus was going to prepare for them, because he couldn't yet fathom how Christ would die and rise again and then descend into heaven with the Father. He couldn't quite fathom how Jesus would establish this spiritual kingdom beyond any earthly realm or power. It sounds promising. It sounded promising to him, Jesus going to prepare this place. And he desperately wanted to know, how do I get there? What must I do? Show us how to get there. We can still get caught up in the geography of it all. hearing these words and assuming they only mean a far off heavenly place, somewhere off in the clouds that we'll go to one day when we die. But Jesus' invitation here is not just to a future reality when Christ returns, but it's about a present reality in relationship with God the Father right here and right now. These rooms Jesus speaks of in the Father's house, it's really a relational word. It can be understood as dwelling places and also derived from the verb to remain or to dwell or to abide. To dwell in the Father's presence, to have eternal life, which is really just another way to say dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It means to be in the presence of God. We look to that eternal life where we will be in the full presence of God, and it's about being in relationship then with God the Father. And this is not only a future reality, but one that we can enjoy in the present, right here, right now, through Christ the Son, who connects us, who joins us in relationship with his Father. As we just talked about last week, abide with me. Abide with Christ. Abide in me and I in you. It's Jesus who connects us to the Father, the vine dresser, to share in that same relationship as children of God, to dwell in the presence of God, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, just another name for eternal life. So this isn't a matter of geography at all. It's not a matter of some future far-off place to get to. This is a way of life in the here and now. And it's a way of life that is opened up to us by Jesus Christ. So Jesus looks at Thomas and says, "Look at me. Here I am. I am the way that you are looking for. I am the one that leads you to the Father. Abide in me, and my Father will abide with you. Dwell in my presence, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord." You may be thinking at this point, well, Rachel, I know when we read this, it's not about actual geography. It's not an actual roadmap or path. It's, of course, about relationship. But how many of us have asked that question in our own life? How can I know the way? What is the right way? What should I do next? How many of us have longed to see the roadmap of our lives, to see what's around just the next turn, to know how long a particular season will last? Friends, I can tell you I'm struggling with this right now. I long to see a roadmap of how long this virus and this social distancing, how long this quarantine will last. I long to know how long we will have to worship in this capacity, not here in person together. I long to know this reality so then I can adequately plan and prepare and to know how to be church, how to be the community of God together, even in this strange time. How long, O Lord? We long for these questions. We ask these questions. But Jesus doesn't give us a roadmap. He gives us himself. Jesus doesn't show us what happens next. He just says he will be with us always. And Jesus also doesn't promise that we won't experience hardship in this life. He doesn't promise that we will be free from pain or suffering or even a physical death. But he says, "Take heart, for I have overcome the world." This is the way to life. This is the way to the Father's house. This is the way to peace and to joy that surpasses all understanding. It's not a particular uniform roadmap of right decisions and choices that we can just check off a list and we know we'll get into heaven. That's works righteousness. And it's not some one size fits all, but a way of life clinging to Jesus that is marked by love. In fact, Jesus has spent this whole discourse, if not this whole gospel, demonstrating what this way of life looks like. It looks like washing his disciples' feet. It looks like loving and blessing the forgotten and the marginalized and the outcast and the enemy. It looks like loving one another as Christ has loved us. It looks like abiding in the presence of God. So maybe what if we were to say, instead of where should I go next, or what should I do next, or what's the right decision, what's the next step in my life? Maybe the right question or the right direction is the path, is what always allows me to love God and to love others more. The right path is what allows me to love God and to love others more. One of my favorite activities to lead at Camp Lucon back in the day was high ropes. It's this obstacle course about 30 feet up in the trees with bridges and swings and logs. And you have to connect to each one to get through this obstacle course. You basically have a harness and two ropes with carabiners that you click onto the wires and you transfer one at a time to get through this obstacle course. It can be quite terrifying for students who are doing it for the first time, especially as you have to stretch and reach around trees to connect and transfer from one wire to the next. I remember seeing students clinging in fear, trying to reach to connect to the next wire and feet slipping and not knowing where to go next. So one of my favorite parts of this sort of team building exercise is to see the role that the rest of the students play that are doing this activity, especially from the ground or even from right there in the trees with you in the obstacle course. And it's the most powerful for me to see how the students respond after they've been through the obstacle course themselves. Because while the friends from the ground can shout up encouragement and maybe suggestions of how to get certain places, they have a different point of view, having never done the obstacle course. But the students who have completed it, who come back around, can share from experience, this is how you make that transfer. This is how you get through that obstacle. This is how you get around that strange tree. Because I just did it, and I know you can do it too. To me, that is the most powerful way that Christ embodies the way, the truth, and the life for us, the way that Jesus is able to open up this way to life with the Father, is because of his incarnation. It's because he came and took on the flesh. The Word became flesh and moved in our neighborhood to dwell among us. Christ took on the full human experience and form and body, experienced our full emotions, experienced trial and suffering and tribulation and even death. He took on this full experience and showed us how to be fully human, how to live a life of love and sacrifice that shows us how to be in relationship with God the Father, the source of all life. He shows us the way to life by his own example and pattern. And after this truth from John 1, the Word became flesh, these words from our passage here this morning in John 14 are the highest understanding of our Christology according to the Gospel of John, our understanding of who Christ is for us and how Christ reveals the Father to us. He tells Philip, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me." Jesus says, "I am the way. I am with you. My word and my truth can be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path, to choose the path that allows you to love God and to love one another the most. No matter what happens," Jesus says, "I will show you the way to life through relationship, not through some exclusion and not through some far off reach of future reality, but through relationship with me and with the Father right here and right now, opened up by Jesus the Son and the power of the Holy Spirit, our Comforter. It's not about the roadmap. It's not about where or what or how that Thomas and Philip ask of Jesus. It's about who. It's about who you are with on this journey. It's about clinging to Jesus as the way through. So may we this week truly cry out to Christ our King. To cry out this morning on Palm Sunday, Christ is our King, Hosanna, save us, because we know who he truly is. And we can say with conviction and with faith, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you, the way, the truth, and the life. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Would you pray with me? God, we give you so much thanks and praise that we are able to be in relationship with you because of Jesus Christ, your Son, and our Savior. We know that these were hard truths that the disciples wrestle with, and yet here we have this book of your signs and your wonders, which reveal to us the full glory of God, now pleased to dwell in the Son. So God, we thank you that in Christ we can be in relationship, a relationship of love with you that allows us to abide, that allows us to have life abundantly, that allows us to bear fruit, and fruit that will last. God, we thank you that you are with us throughout this whole journey, and that we can have faith knowing that even though we don't know what tomorrow will hold, even though we don't know how long this season will last, God, we know that you are always with us. And it's your incarnation that proves that to us, that you loved us so much that you came to dwell in our suffering, into our world, to be with us, to redeem it all, and so that we might truly have the victory in you. So God, we thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life for us. And I pray that we would experience that more fully in the days and in the week to come. Amen. Friends, it's been so good to be in worship with you all this week. As you know, we had to cancel our Palm Sunday celebration that would have happened today with a big community-wide fellowship lunch. And so my challenge to you this week, or even today, my challenge to you today is to carry out food from one of your local restaurants that you live nearby, either for lunch or dinner. Be a blessing to that local restaurant. Help them to know that Revolution Church loves them and supports them. And if you're even willing, maybe you could take a picture and post it, tag Revolution in it today so that we can see and celebrate with each other, even as we have our table fellowship apart. And be on the lookout this week for information for our live stream services for Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday. Looking forward to celebrating this Holy Week with you. So I'm praying for you. As always, I hope you guys have a great and safe week, and let's be the revolution. Go in peace.
Yes!
I was waiting for you to do the thing.
Okay.